The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek, Shek, Shek.
Cause for much celebration this week. A lot of intrigue as well. We're into week two of free agency. The retirement of Chris Borland. We'll kibitz about that. The signing of Trent Richardson. Much to get to. And, of course, some reckless speculation about what it all means for the 2015 NFL season. Meantime, real quick, I mentioned celebrations. What a week it's been. Jean-Claude Van Dameshek, the original football baby, my first boy, turned 6 years of age, so happy birthday to him because I'm sure he's listening right now in school. My old man is definitely listening at some point to this. Happy birthday to him 2 days later. And then after that, St. Patrick's Day. And you know, the guy seated to my immediate left, let's say hello to him because he hails from the UK where I wonder if they do a really grand celebration over there. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you, Dave. Thank you very much.
So what's it like over there?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I've been here for St. Patrick's Day a lot of times, and it's way bigger deal here. I have never been in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, where presumably it is, of course, the biggest holiday of the year outside of maybe Christmas. But in Britain, in England, not celebrated in any way.
Is that for political strife because of that?
No. I think it, you know, it's not a holiday. It's not a day that people have off. You certainly would go to the pub and drink a Guinness, but I would do that on Tuesday, the 4th of November.
Well, people don't get the day off in the U.S., but a lot of people treat it that way.
Take the day off, right.
I'll tell you, I spent you know, about a decade in Chicago after I got out of college in there. And the Green River, which is insane. It really is one of those things that you really should see if you ever get. Matter of fact, look up pictures online of it. I tweeted one out on Tuesday. It really is insane. It's the color of a Jolly Rancher green apple candy.
Right.
It's impossibly green, this bright emerald color. But of course, that's just the beginning of the fun on St. Pat's. Some of the great days of my life. There was one day where my pal Reggie and I decided after when we had a gang with us, but we decided, and I'm still not clear on what was going on. It was 19 years ago that we did this, but at some point in the proceedings, we decided, you know what, St. Patrick's Day just won't stand unless we cross state lines and have a drink somewhere else. So we went to Indiana.
Of course.
I don't know why, though. It was a very strange move, and yet it proved to be an enjoyable one.
A huge success, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Anyway, Handsome, it's been so long since we've seen you. Talk about, I don't know where to start, Black Tie is behind the glass. Elliot Harrison will be in here at some point, I believe.
That is the plan, although with EH, you never know. He might need to go take a shower or something.
I know, he might be too busy tweeting about how Handsome Hank and I are less of human beings than he is because he advocates not showering once a week to help save water.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Let's hope it wasn't this morning that he decided not to shower.
We can't smell him down here on planet Earth with him perched way up there on Mount Pius as he is. Handsome, free agency was very exciting.
It was a thriller, wasn't it?
There's, you know, Chris Borland retires now. He is, I think, the fourth guy under 30 to retire in the last couple weeks. But let's start with you. You're our resident Miami Dolphins fan. And I feel like because Revis happened right, I think, within maybe an eight-hour range of Ndamukong Suh finally signing his deal and landing there in Miami, what do you make of your favorite team? And what do you make of the AFC East? Because I legitimately buy all four of those teams now. I don't think any one of them seems fraudulent after these moves.
Yeah, I agree. I think of all the divisions, if you look at them, you know, the eight divisions, The AFC East was the one that made the most moves. And, you know, it's probably natural. The Patriots, the Super Bowl champions, live in that division, so you better do whatever you can to catch them because they're streets ahead of those three teams and have been for some time now. You know, look at the Bills, LeSean McCoy, that's a huge signing. Getting Jerry Hughes back again, that's great. They still don't have a quarterback. Look at the Jets. They got Revis, which is good. And, you know, I think Jets
and Cromartie.
And
which
Cromartie.
I buy
to have those two back together again. I buy them both more than I do either of them individually, if you know what I mean. I think having both of them on the field.
I think that about Cromartie, certainly. If he had gone to, whatever, Tennessee, I would think, well.
But he did pretty well in Arizona last year. And obviously Todd Bowles, the new Jets head coach, will be happy to have him back there. But they still don't have a quarterback either. And then the Dolphins get Sue, and they make some moves on the offensive side.
Did they gut themselves, though? Did they have to gut too many players to bring in?
I mean, you look at the you know, this is a lot of the space that they managed to clear to sign in Damacon Sue was down to removing some of the pieces that Jeff Ireland put in there who had horribly underperformed. You like Donnell Ellaby and Philip Wheeler were both pretty much trash, and they managed to get something back for Ellaby and Kenny Stills and a draft pick with the Saints. Hartline's contract was bloated, and you know he'd been a nice sort of blanket.
Isn't it funny, by the way, how incestuous the division is? Is it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there another division that is comparable at all? Because you have Tannenbaum, formerly of the Jets, now down there in Miami, and actually apparently having a big hand in making some of these savvy plays. And then Rex Ryan's now in Buffalo.
I like the idea of the fact that now sort of the longest running saga of free agency at this point, now that people have signed, is Charles Clay, the Dolphins tight end.
Right.
Free agent, and the Dolphins put the transition tag on, so which means that they can match another team's offer. They're sort of playing a game of chicken between Tannenbaum and Rex, you know, in Buffalo, who clearly wanted Clay, but now there's, you know, the Dolphins have enough that, in fact, Clay, because he's on the transition tag, it means that he's a part of their salary cap already, so he's accounted for. They can afford him. I don't think the Dolphins need him because they got Jordan Cameron, so they're just sort of like, your move, Rex, and it's a fascinating game of chicken that's being played out and being played out over a fairly long time because most of these free agency things
happen
very quickly.
By the way, a couple more. Ryan Fitzpatrick, formerly of the Bills, now with the Jets, and Darrell Revis, of course, wins Jets wins a Super Bowl now back. I don't think there is another division with so much of that overlap, obviously, in the era of free agency.
It definitely seems that way, but I truly believe that division's improved itself the most, where I think you could have made a pretty good argument that outside of the Patriots, so the competition the Patriots had to win that division's been, over, let's say, the last 5 years, has been as low as any division in the league, when the Jets started to fall off.
Right. But really, like I say, my original point is I don't think any of those other three teams are, aside from obviously the reigning champions, I think all three of those teams feel like they made good moves here. Yeah. They all look like they're improved. They all seem legitimate to me. I almost can't. In fact, I'm scratching it out for NFL.com, and also I want to talk with you and maybe EH if he ever shows up here, and Black Tie as well. I like to recklessly speculate, if you haven't heard. Some artists work in clay, some work in oils. I work in reckless speculation. And so I want to get everybody's thoughts about this. But it's hard to divine anything about the AFCs because they all seem good now. I can't.
Well, let me see if I can help you there. Because the two things that, and I'm clearly biased, but I don't think we mind that here. The Bills and Jets, the position they didn't sort out is quarterback. The Bills, you know, are still gambling on maybe EJ Manuel coming good or Matt Cassel being the better Matt Cassel, which still isn't.
You definitely, your Dolphins have the clear cut second best QB in the division.
In the division, and the other two are some way behind. I don't think anyone buys Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point. So, like, you can collect all these nice pieces and shiny toys on offense, but if you haven't got the guy, if the opposing defense doesn't really care about what your quarterback's going to do, then it's a lot harder to use.
I know, but I feel like that while that's true, Ryan Tannehill isn't, you know, whatever, however, if we want to call him among the elititudinous QBs of pro football,
I'm not ready to put him there, but to he's do certainly that, a top 14 quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. But here's the other thing with the Bills. Here's the counter to that. I think Rex Ryan is one of those guys. The only sample we have is his time with the Jets. But I think, you watch. I bet you 2015, Not, I don't know what else happens after this season, but I bet you Rex gets that team an extra two wins.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree. I would say of that in that division, I'm more worried about the Bills than I am about the Jets.
That defense should be mighty. And by the way, the Jets' defense should be mighty. And by the way, the Dolphins' defense could be pretty menacing, at least as far as a pass rush goes.
I think it'll be more menacing than the other two.
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
I think, you know, and I said this last week as we bounce around here. I think this is the first bit of reckless speculation. I shared it last week. It's a holdover. And by the way, your old pal, our old pal, Ross Tucker, once again wounded that you couldn't find the time in your busy schedule to say hello to him.
I mean,
you brought us together. People enjoy Ross Tucker's visits to DDFP.
No one more than me.
The only sorrow is that you haven't been a part of them.
Well, free agency week, unfortunately, isn't a time where I can gallivant around with you, Dave. There's no culinary tour taking place during free agency week. I have to have my head down.
Well, let me say this to you. So I floated it to him, and I float it to you now. Drew Brees to the New York Jets. This is a great play for both teams.
The Drew Brees is not should be traded, but it shouldn't be to the Jets. It should be to the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh.
If Drew Brees wants to go get himself a championship, that's not happening in New York with the Jets.
But
sorry.
But in order for the Saints, you know what? I disagree with that. Because if Drew Brees, Cap reasons, Ross Tucker and other realists want to take me down from my perch of speculation, mm-hmm. and say, well, that they wouldn't be able to work out the contract. I don't know. Doesn't it seem like when teams want to work these contracts out that they have an ability, especially sure. if you're dealing him? It's not like Drew Brees is a free agent.
But I don't
the
know
Saints
what...
could absorb, theoretically, a portion of that
I
money.
I get that
if they
point.
Wanted.
I get that part of it entirely. I'm not.
And it's not even fun to talk about
it's
that
not
part.
Fun to talk about that. But what I'd say is the Jets, I don't know why the Jets would do that move.
Cause they'd be,
and I don't know
they
why
would be...
Drew Brees would do it because the Jets aren't close enough to a Super Bowl to then mortgage, you know,
yes,
like
they
the
are.
Draft. No, they're not. The Jets can't. They can't hand over those draft picks. They can't hand over that money to a guy who, you know, let's say he's got three more years in the NFL. I just don't see that the window being there for them to do
Wait
it.
Wait a second. You think the Jets would have to give up a ton for Drew Brees? Yes. I don't think they would. They would be taking on a massive contract. This is Drew Brees' last year in New Orleans, or maybe a couple more. He is going to move. I mean, I don't know that they're going to commit another $20 million to him ever again. They would be – that's what you see these deals. It's a head-scratcher from a distance, the casual fan. One of the biggest questions around free agency is, wait, my team only got a fifth-round draft pick for an all-pro? What, Brandon Marshall isn't worth more than that? Yeah, because of the massive dollar hit that it takes away from your thing. You're doing – if the Saints traded up to get him, they now have two. They have those two first-round draft picks. I wouldn't even be surprised if they sent the latter of the two along with Drew Brees to move up to get the Jets pick.
No, Dave. There's very big difference between receivers who, you know, there are a penny a dozen. Is that a thing that people say? And then
£4.
And a franchise quarterback.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
And a franchise quarterback that there aren't, as Dave Dameshek himself has told us, there aren't very many of those on earth. There's still a premium to be paid. It's not going to be the same deal as like Brandon Marshall for a fifth just to offload a contract.
Well, here's the other thing.
But the Arizona Cardinals makes good sense.
I think,
I would do that if I were them because that window is going to close and all they're going to got there is Drew Stanton.
How about Washington, D.C.? That's another. Dan Snyder would love that splash, and by the way, so would Woody Johnson.
Right.
But we know Dan Snyder likes to make moves like this. He understands the PR, at least from a PR side. I'm sure he would be jazzed about that. That would be a terrific move for that team as well. But the Jets with Drew Brees would be the best team in the AFC. That's it. They would be the most.
I disagree.
With Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. With that defense that they'll have, especially with Todd Bowles and that secondary now and that front line with the couple of guys they have up front in Wilkinson and who am I forgetting?
Sheldon.
And Sheldon Richardson. That would be the best team. That would be the AFC's finest team. And but the other point I want to make to you about this is here's why.
So you really believe the Jets are just missing a quarterback? That's all that they're missing is a quarterback?
I think in the AFC, when it's really hard to identify who the best team is, it's the Patriots, right? Aren't the Patriots the best team in the AFC right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have Darrell Revis, who was really the difference maker in them getting finally over the hump after a decade. Here he is joining us for this conversation inside Studio 66, another guy who's been away for far too long, all the way from Texas, well, by way of Mount Pius. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the
wow,
going?
Mount Pius.
What yeah, that's I right. I see. What do you think? Twitter, you understand, is public, right?
Yeah, what did I do?
You attacked Handsome and I. I'll tell you for not caring as much about the planet as you.
Let me tell you one
thing. Say that. I didn't say that.
I think we need to save water some, and I think we only should bathe ourselves 6 days a week, not seven. I brought it up on DDFP, but...
And y'all call me Smelliot.
Let's say one thing.
That's
like, today,
matter.
You know,
today,
I've actually, about to give you credit for something. You said you had a little jingle that really stuck in my head. I swear. You said, if it's yellow, let it mellow. And that
if it's brown, flush it down.
There it is.
That's
so
right.
I was about
I made
to give
that
you
one
credit.
Up.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I'll tell you what, though. He has bathed today. Come around here. Smell him.
Oh, I can
smell I have, but I didn't it yesterday. Delicious. One of your dedicated listeners brought it up on my Twitter feed. I guess he didn't attach your Twitter handle, at Damashek.
I saw it.
Continued my 1 day a week. I do not shower. 1 day a week. It's my little contribution. I'm doing the best that I can. Yeah, I am concerned. California's water supply is serious.
You should move to New England because you're a Patriot.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about the Patriots being the best team in the AFC. So you're saying that the Jets are better than the Patriots if they get what quarterback?
Drew Brees. I think that I feel as though there is a legitimate chance that the Saints, so loaded with crummy contracts over the last few years,
mm-hmm.
clearly are turning the page. It's just how severe are they willing to get before 2015? Jimmy Graham is now gone. He is their best non-QB offensive player. Are they really willing to rip off the Band-Aid, turn the page, land their quarterback of the future in Marcus Mariota in exchange for a guy who's done great work for the team? But are they going to win a Super Bowl? That's the assessment, really, to me. If you're a team like the Saints, you're not, you know, the Jags, well, if they went 9-7, would be over the moon. But that's not the aspiration for a certain handful of teams. Even getting to the postseason, will that be a satisfying season for Sean Payton at all? No. It's the Super Bowl. Are they realistically going to win the Super Bowl this year? No. I do not see a path to that. So may as well get rid of Brees if they buy Mariota, if they believe that he's the guy for them.
They're not. But I don't think that Sean Payton's along for a rebuild. I just don't feel like I don't feel like his time in New Orleans is going to include, a rebuilding program.
I agree.
And so you asked us to come to the. I'm going to take people behind the curtain here. You asked us to come with a bold prediction for the 2015 season.
Wait, are you going to do it right now?
Well, I have one that involves this conversation.
Do we want to do it now, Black Tie? Black Tie's the producer behind the glass. Do you want
to? When did we last listen
to
that?
Well, last time, the last show we did, I brought back a segment. The Black Tie shout-out, and this time we're going to bring back.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the Black Tie shout-out? He did a shout-out the last show.
Did.
It
brought it back.
Back after two
and
years.
This episode, we're going to bring back the Blacklist.
Blacklist. All right. Oh, Black so we're doing it. The Blacklist.
All right.
All right, I'm fine to do the Blacklist, but for the record, the question was, are we going to jump into all of our reckless speculation right now and then do the Blacklist?
No, that's the first thing on the Blacklist. Give me a 2015 bold prediction.
Oh, so the whole thing is a black.
It is.
Right. I got you. All right. Well, I have several, but all right.
Since we're talking about it, my prediction was that after the 2015 season, Brees, Peyton, and Loomis, so the quarterback, head coach, and general manager, will no longer be in New Orleans. And that's why I'm saying I don't think Sean Payton's along for a rebuilding effort, which is why I think a year from now, Brees won't be there. But I don't think that Sean Payton has the stomach to totally rebuild the Saints and like trade the pieces away and do the action that means that they get back there again.
Well, like anybody else who's listening, when you started that sentence, you can understand why I thought you were about to say after 2015, Drew Brees, Payton. I thought you were going to make some grand statement about the Iron Five quarterbacks, Peyton Manning. They're going to be out of the NFL
No.
Or Tom
Sorry.
Brady will be gone. I was thinking, what does Mickey Loomis have to do with those?
Sorry, Sean Payton.
Yeah, I feel like that is where this thing's headed now. They're trying to purge these crummy contracts. You know, they have reshaped as much as they can in a week's worth of free agency from being this team that tries to attack you deep with, you know, Brandon Cooks is going to really have to take on a much larger role, but that they're going to try to grind you more on the ground. And that reminds me of something that I did tell Ross Tucker last week, and I'll tell it to you fellas now. It's interesting. The premise that in the 21st century, you have to have an elite attitudinous QB to win the Super Bowl is pretty valid. If you look at the last 12, which pretty much covers the last 15, I think. If you look at the last 15 titles, one, and that takes us all the way back to January of '01. If you look at them, almost all those teams did have what would be categorized as a top six QB, and the teams that are the outliers to that. So Brady has won 4. Roethlisberger has won 2. Both guys have played in more Super Bowls beyond that. Breeze won 1. Peyton won 1, played in more than that one. These guys get to the – if you have one of those – it's a great way to get
your outliers are your outliers are Dilfer and Brad Johnson.
If you're including those guys. But, yeah, I'm talking about Super Bowl winners, right? So if you include those guys and then you include Flacco in that group, and Russell Wilson is an intriguing case. I mean, do you count him in that top tier? I guess you probably can. But either way, the premise seems to be – and Eli is the other guy. The premise is you either need that QB, but you can also win because the Giants have won a couple – the Ravens, the Buccaneers, like you say, you can go the route of the Seahawks. Dominant defense, grind you on the ground. Maybe that's what what the Saints are trying to do. They won't have the defense to make that work exactly in 2015. But that is the other way, and that's when we talk about the AFC East, to go back to that. Yes, the Patriots will be the favorite because they have Tom Brady, but the other three teams have a legit shot,
sure,
in my opinion, because they all seem – ready to really dominate defense. All three could be defensively dominant teams, very much like the NFC West of the last few years. And if I were the Jets, I'd really have a hard time looking away from Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon in round one. Because if they got one of those guys, if they don't wind up with Mariota, I mean, I think that they're built to do that right now.
I got you. I just don't see any way that Breeze. I mean, I think they got Mark Ingram re-signed, and they brought C.J. Spiller in there to help him out. So the whole game isn't on his shoulders. And there was a report that was out there that he wasn't happy with Kenny Stills, and he wasn't happy with Grubbs. And that's what part of the reason they got dealt.
Yeah, but by the way, he also said he had no idea about Jimmy Graham. Something's fishy there in New Orleans.
Right.
Wait, so Drew Brees was consulted on the interior offensive lineman, but they didn't mention the Jimmy Graham thing to him.
I don't know if I buy that yarn. It's one thing to deal Jimmy Graham. It's another thing to deal the most popular player in franchise history, which Drew Brees is undoubtedly the most popular.
Well, I've gotten plenty of heat on Twitter since I made that statement last week. A lot of words that are not nice.
What, they say George Rogers?
No.
Oh.
I said that the Saints, I think, ought to trade.
Oh, okay.
Drew
I was about
Brees,
to say.
And I think they might trade him on draft day or before. I got a lot of hateful words sent in my direction. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. If you guys were basing this premise, or you, Sheck, on the Jets making a deal for Jay Cutler, then that would be interesting to me because I could see the Bears wanting to part ways. I don't think John Fox is buying into that. Jay Cutler certainly has the upside. And one other thing to factor in here, bear in mind where the Jets play. It is tough for an aging quarterback, it can be, to play in cold weather. Now, Tom Brady has disproven that, but Tom Brady also has a ridiculous training regimen, which I encourage you all to look that up. Peyton Manning could struggle with that in Denver. Do you want an aging quarterback to bring into New York, or do you want a guy like Jay Cutler who's got a rocket arm?
I'm not Woody Johnson, though, and he definitely reminded you, if you doubt this, with the Darrell Revis chase, that he likes a PR splash. I mean, that was, as he said, this is about more than football in getting Revis back. It is a win against their arch rival in the newspaper, or online, I guess is more accurate in the 20th
century. Well, let me throw another name out at you then. What about Colin Kaepernick? Why not make a deal for Colin Kaepernick? A lot of upside.
There's a lot of upside, but I think you've still got to look at, like, for all these teams, we've been talking about this all through the offseason since the Super Bowl. There aren't many options out there. If you're talking about trading away your quarterback, you better be damn sure you've got something else that you can pick up to put in there. And I don't know that the 49ers would have the stomach for that or the Saints would have the stomach for that, because what are your options?
I know Russell
Wilson. Luke McCown is number two in New Orleans, and I agree. It's Blaine Gabbert in San Francisco.
I agree. That's why I think the Bears are the best option. I'm not saying I believe in Jay Cutler. I'm just saying, using your parameters there, Jay Cutler, strong enough arm to make the throws in New York, still young enough, a smart player, whether or not he cares enough is a whole different deal. And I don't think the Bears regime is completely sold.
I agree
49ers,
with
49ers, I don't think they could handle the PR nightmare.
Right. They were already.
But here's the thing. If you are to remain relevant in the playoff chase, unless you, again, back to my point of a couple minutes ago, if you have one of those QBs, then they're your insurance policy. Tom Brady makes everything all right and, to have him. Everything around him doesn't have to be flawless, and the Patriots are still going to be good. So too are the Steelers. The Steelers aren't going 3-13 with Roethlisberger on their team. Peyton Manning's team's, generally speaking, they've always been good because whatever flaws they have. But if you don't have that, though, then I'm not that Russell Wilson makes it acceptable for Marcus Mariota. But what it does allow you to do, if you reboot with a guy like that, is it reboots you in terms of salary. And that is attractive to start the clock all over again, back to zero. If you have Mariota and you put him in there, like, I could make a case. In fact, I will make the case. That's Mark Ingram plus C.J. Spiller makes Marcus Mariota a pretty scary prospect this year. If you put him in with the Saints right now, that offense sounds scary to me.
Don't forget Brandon Cooks.
Right. Yep. That sounds like a dangerous offense to try and handle.
But you're killing your own argument that someone's going to then pay a premium for Brees. It's not just a matter of, here's a fifth-round pick for Drew Brees and we've offloaded his salary, because these players, these high-end quarterbacks, like you just said, are exactly the piece that you need to
keep
your insurance.
Except that he's old. He's 36, and, you know, I think sports fans, we have a hard time moving off of the notion that what has been is never going to change just because, how could you say that the Broncos are not going to win their division this year? Because that's the way life unfolds.
Sure.
There's an ebb and a flow to such things, you know, for the most part. And Peyton Manning is old. And I have bad news for Patriots fans. Tom Brady's not going to play for another 15 years. You know, he at some point is going to fall off. And the Roethlisberger deal in Pittsburgh is terrific. But, you know, he's playing at this level for another 3 years, maybe 3-4 years. I mean, that's the way it's going to go.
You look like a really angry Grizzly Adams right now.
I look terrific with this very rugged beard. All right, let's move on to some more reckless speculation now. Black tie. Is this the longest answer to a blacklist question?
Longest ever. I'm not a fan of segments being derailed, especially when it's my segment. But you know, this conversation about Drew Brees, where he could go, where he might not go, is actually an intriguing one.
Well, he had a good year if you look his numbers up, but by his standard, and if you watch the games, he just was crummy in big spots.
That NFC South is wide open. You could be the rebuilding Saints, if that's what we were rebooting or whatever that's what we're going to call them. You can still win the NFC South, you know, almost accidentally in the last week of the season based on what's happened the last couple of years. So I wouldn't write – I just think it would be crazy for the Saints to say goodbye to him this year.
All right, well,
there's still a chance to win.
Mickey Loomis hasn't contacted me to ask my opinion on this, but I think that he – in it deep down knows this team ain't winning the Super Bowl this year. So if that is the conclusion that he comes to, or Sean Payton comes to, if I were Sean Payton, and say, like, listen, this team's all right, we might win the division, but we ain't going to beat the Seahawks and the Packers and whoever else. We're not going to beat the Panthers.
You can't.
The Falcons,
if you run the ball,
are going to come back up. Well, back, that goes the other way, right? If you don't have the elite-itudinous QB, then you better be able to run the ball and dominate defensively. EH, your prediction. I mean, your reckless speculation, let's call it.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're still doing that, are we?
What are you talking about? We only did one.
We only have 8 minutes to go on today's show. We have yet to talk about Chris Borland, so I would love to get to that.
We're going
to
get to it. I want to hear reckless speculation.
All right, EH.
EH, go.
Reckless speculation. I have Green Bay over Indianapolis in Super Bowl 50.
That's not.
Whoa, you jumped right to the end of the novel.
Well, hey, I wrote power rankings today. I stacked all the teams up, and I was looking at it, and I thought, you know, I could really see this Super Bowl. And I don't have Indianapolis at the top, but these guys can stay healthy. Why not? Why not Indianapolis? Who's clearly better than Indy?
I think they've improved. Well, that's my recurring point as well. The AFC, and here's the other thing about the Patriots, and I would never. It's hard to speculate about a guy's. It's a weird thing to hinge your hypothesis on a guy. Well, he's injury prone, so therefore he can't be relied upon. But really, the Patriots now, especially without Revis on the other side of the ball, you know, Gronkowski has not been consistent with his health, and he takes a beating. Mm-hmm. And big guys tend to do that in the NFL. And, if you know, they become very mortal offensively if they lose Gronkowski. That's another reason why the AFC is up in the air. I like that pick there. Black Tie, your reckless speculation.
My reckless speculation, this is a tough one. Actually, to be honest, I didn't have one ready. So can we just move on to the next topic?
I emailed
you. We
have
5 minutes left. I know I had one.
You're a
jerk. We have 5 minutes left, so I want to talk some Chris Borland here.
I want to talk Chris Borland, too. I'm going to tell you one more. I said the Broncos won't make the playoffs. I'm going to write more about this. Oh, here's one. The Rams will statistically and otherwise, however you choose to measure these things, will overtake the Seahawks as at least the NFC's best defense, maybe the best in football. I think the attrition for the Seahawks, the Nick Fairley addition.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one big time. Really? I love that. I love their line. Yeah, it looks great on paper, but, you know, that home crowd has got to get behind that team and that defense.
Oh, that'll definitely happen this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? I mean, that's part of having a great defense.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Black Tie, have your way. Move on to the next subject, which is Chris Borland. I saw EH tweeting about it, so we'll start with him.
Well,
and if you haven't heard, of course, rookie linebacking phenom for the 49ers hung it up on Tuesday morning.
I'm going to just say this. I think it takes a lot of courage for – I understand the long-term health things and all that kind of stuff, but I think it takes a lot of guts for a 24-year-old to decide that I'm not going to do for my career what I'm best at, and I'm going to go do something else. That is a really scary thing. I mean, it's scary enough coming out of college. You get your degree in something, and you think, okay, this is what I'm going to do for a living, to already make a career change. And not only that, but, you know, most of us coming out of college, we're going to hope to make $50,000, you know, making a career change. For Borland, he's truly putting aside an incredible future to do something else. So I get all the health stuff. But to me, it's taking a risk in that you're investing in yourself. Like, hey, you know what? I'm not a one-trick pony. I can do this, and I can do something else with my life, and I do applaud that. I think that takes a lot of guts.
What was your first job coming out of college?
Oh, my gosh. Do I have to answer this one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Elliot Harrison, if you aren't aware, has a pretty sordid past, his professional life. He was in a music video once. Who was it? Brooks and Dunn?
Brooks and Dunn. I can tell you the
Brooks
first.
Brooks and Dunn, look up Beer 30 on YouTube and thank me later.
You guys aren't going to believe this, but I remember the first gig, I did commercial work in Dallas. The very first audition I went on after I graduated, I mean, literally, right? I auditioned, I swear, to be a body double in a movie called Universal Soldier 2, which was the biggest piece of trash ever. And I was Jean-Claude Van Damme's double in three scenes in the worst action movie you've ever seen.
But wait, this actually happened. You were you.
Yes,
that is dynamite.
I met with this agent. He said, I'll give you a shot. You know, I hadn't been doing acting like everyone else had. I had a business degree from North Texas, and he said, but there's an audition. There's a casting this weekend. We'll try on a couple things. See how you do.
Right.
I went down. I'm like the same dimensions as that guy. I'm 5'9". I was like 180.
He's a lot more muscular than you.
Not then.
Really?
So, I mean, dude, I was 24 years old. I mean, come on.
You were all jacked up?
I wasn't all jacked up, but he's not all jacked up. You know, I was just in shape. I swear. But I didn't have
might
to take
the greatest story ever.
I didn't have to. It's a true story. I didn't have to take my shirt off or anything. It wasn't that kind of deal. But I had to do this scene where I had to fight these guys or mimic the moves. I didn't.
Is there video or anything of this?
I had to mimic the moves where he's like throwing one guy into a dryer. We were like in a washroom. I remember that. If you've ever seen Universal Soldier 2, you might know of the scene I'm talking about. It was terrible. I couldn't see it. My brother saw the movie because I was in it. I never went back and saw it. I just could. I knew it was trash when I was. It was bad when I was shooting.
Oh my heavens!
I don't want to say trash. It was.
By the way, this no chance. That is not the most ridiculous thing AH has been on before his NFL.
No, it's not.
I don't know if you.
We could stop there. We could stop.
Jerry Springer.
You know what? I think we could stop.
Wait a second. What? Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer show.
Black tie. This is not
after the. After the Jerry Springer show,
this is a spear in the back, 400 yards.
Called Baggage, where you go on the show and you try to find a date, you know, depending on what your baggage is, and you people match up. So EH was a contestant on this show called Baggage with Jerry Springer, looking for a date. I'm at home one day watching during Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, and I'm like, my goodness, it's EH Elliot Harrison. So, I mean, it's a great – I mean, it was
Did
hilarious.
I pick the right girl or what?
I don't remember, actually.
Well, one girl had – my choices. One girl was kind of weird. The other girl, she was very upset with me that I didn't pick her. She had like 75 pairs of porcelain hands in her apartment, and yeah, I'm like, why do you have? And she let her cat go to the bathroom in the same toilet that she did. Like her cat didn't have a kitty litter box. I was a little weirded out.
What was your baggage?
I'm totally OCD. Like I will check to make sure the stove is off. Like. 50 times before I go to bed. And so that was mine. Yeah.
I have another friend who was on the dating game, the old dating game. No, I'm sorry. Love Connection with Chuck Woolery.
Are you going to pay off this story?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is that, I'll jump to the end of the book and tell you that later that day he made sweet love to her, the woman he chose, which is, I don't know.
Yeah, how do you
admirable or creepy? Mm. Handsome. Your I thoughts have... on Chris Borland.
On Chris Borland. Okay, good. There we go. Back
then we'll get to your next job. Thoughts.
My next job, would you know something I don't?
No, I'm sorry, your first job out of school. I want to hear about that. Just because I know time is short for handsome. I want to get him in.
I have managed to move the meeting that I was supposed to go
oh.
have me for another 20 minutes.
Excellent. Excellent news. Best wow. news yet. Where are you going, Black Tie? You don't go anywhere.
I have a meeting, though.
For what?
Well, the show can keep going on. Just you guys are going to be on
autopilot. By ourselves.
So don't
Great.
Do anything crazy.
Do you want me okay? to produce it?
Yes. I think that would be for the best. What do you mean you have a meeting while we're doing the podcast? Who schedules a meeting when you're producing a podcast?
Well,
for goodness sakes,
pull back the curtain. This podcast was supposed to happen a lot earlier, but someone came in an hour after they were scheduled to come in. Not you, EH. Damn, check.
All right. Listen. What can I tell you? Mean Joe's nanny was sick today, so I had to delay the podcast. What could I do? AKA football baby. All right, so now to you, handsome.
Borland, I mean, I agree with Elliot. I think he obviously has had to make some kind of a brave decision to choose one career, which, I think Elliot's point is an excellent one. One career that probably he's not as good at as he was as playing football. I think probably the macro point for me is just looking at that 49ers team and the attrition they've suffered over the last 2 weeks with. Players leaving, players retiring. You know that's going to be a pretty tough one to swallow for that team, especially in a division where I agree.
Are they the last place team by your?
Yes.
From what you can tell
right
now
in that division right now, I don't know how. I mean, I think they'll have to have some kind of miraculous season for them not to be. I love Carlos Hyde, by the way. I think he's going to be good. I think
yes.
Torrey Smith offers them something else on offense. I think offense could be a wash. They could even be a little bit better than they were last year, but on defense, you know, Patrick Willis is. One of the best defensive players in the league, and maybe he didn't play up to it last year. If Justin Smith doesn't come back, there's going to be issues. Donald Dockett could be a nice piece there, but it's going to be pretty difficult.
You know what's interesting is the NFC West probably collectively swings towards offense this mm-hmm. year because while the Rams, like I say, their defense should be mighty, the Seahawks just can't be as good. Well, if they wind up with Greg Hardy, which wow. they're one of the teams chasing him, then they will remain just as scary, if not more so. But I think, obviously, the Niners are going to fall back defensively. The Cardinals without Todd Bowles, you figure, and some other pieces, you figure they'll fall back a little bit. And, you know, the Seahawks, clearly, I have identified the need to open things up a little bit by going and getting Jimmy Graham. So I think everything swings toward offense. Not everything, but a lot of things point towards there being that not being a division dominated,
you know what,
by defense.
You know what, Sheck? I think the most important thing in the NFC West, bar none, not fairly, not these retirements, not even the Jimmy Graham trade, is Carson Palmer being healthy for 16 games. Let's see what the Cardinals can do sans all the bad luck. Because I think we can all agree no team had as much bad luck as the Cardinals did last year. That, to me, just having an offseason and getting healthier, I want to see if the Cardinals can overtake Seattle. Why couldn't they?
I agree.
They?
What if you buy the rumors that they go out and get Adrian Peterson?
That would be interesting to me. And by the way, it was Universal Soldier, The Return. I wanted to correct myself.
Sorry,
not
I didn't
two.
Think I've heard of Universal Soldier 2. But The Return, now you say that, I definitely would.
Absolutely. You know, the Adrian Peterson, I think people forget that Andre Ellington played hurt like the entire year last year.
If I were going to go out and make, you know, that kind of a big move, if I was the Cardinals, I would definitely, you know, going back to our earlier conversation, I'd definitely see if Breeze is movable rather than another running back. I just don't think, I don't know that having Adrian Peterson there, if you've still got Carson Palmer or, you know, even a healthy Carson Palmer as your quarterback, I don't know that that really makes you one win or two wins better than they were last year, which is clearly going to be the key for them to get over the hump.
I agree.
If you get a Drew Breeze there, I'd say you're the best team in that division.
Yeah, I think that I guess I lean more in the direction of Handsome Hank, just that Carson Palmer, even with Bruce Arians, who works wonders with just about any QB he gets, I don't necessarily buy that he is he's a difference maker for how that division would have shaken out. I think he would have gotten them, like, to your point, EH, I guess I'm on the fence. I guess he would have been worth a win or two down the stretch. Maybe they even go into Carolina and knock them off.
But it wasn't just him. I mean, you know, Ellington was playing hurt. They were banged up all throughout the defense. I mean, they had to get Tommy Kelly, you know, gave them valuable time. You know, they were Honey Badger has been hurt for so much of his career. I'm talking about the whole team. Darnell Dockett last year, I know he's in San Francisco. He missed time. They just didn't have any luck. I mean, and then at the end of the
year, Washington was put on the shelf.
There you go.
They're
playing Ryan Lindley against Carolina, and it's like we were all happy the Cardinals made the playoffs, but then we were like, well, that's an easy W. I mean, what game was easier to predict this year than the Carolina-Arizona playoff game? I just think if the Cardinals had all their pieces, it'd be interesting to see what they could do in this division.
All right, let's but back to Borland real fast. People have very quickly turned this into putting it along with Jake Locker and Jason Worlds, who it seems retired for religious reasons. But there's enough evidence for people to begin speculating now that this is bad for the NFL. Like, this is just the start of things, and players are taking it into their own hands. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. I think it's something that the NFL has to be concerned with, not so much in 2015 as much as it has to worry about it in 2030. If there are enough people around the country, if there are enough parents who say, well, if NFL players are doing it, then we shouldn't let our kids do it. But I think I really do believe, and really I'm only half kidding when I say this about global warming and everything else. I'm not late to the party on that. I have long, you know, believed what scientists say about these things.
And I'm not a scientist.
But the thing that I always sort of hang my hat on is that people smarter than I will figure these things out. I feel like there will be a scientist who figures out, like, you know what we'll do? Let's build a big ice cube maker up in the North Pole that just perpetually dumps big ice cubes into the water. It'll cool it all down. Global warming solved. I don't know what the solution. See, maybe that if that's a thought starter to the scientists out there, saving the planet will be all I need in terms of payment. But in the same
maybe
way,
maybe it is you, Dave. Maybe you are a scientist.
But in the same way, I've talked to a couple of different companies in the last couple of years. I know that, you know, 5 years ago, remember 10 years ago, more like 15 years ago, you would see some NFL guys running around with those goofy helmets. It was that little, like, yarmulke helmet on top of the helmet. Yeah. Who was that?
Wallace was the first.
Steve Wallace of
and
the
Mark
Niners
Kelso.
Had one of those.
Those were the two guys.
Yes, and Kelso wore it. And, you know, they keep trying different kinds of helmets. But I've talked in just the last 6 months. In fact, at the Super Bowl, I was talking with a guy from a company, and they really do believe he's incented. It's capitalism and all that, that he's, that his company is going to change the future. But I do buy to some degree that they'll figure it out. They're already making strides as they invest in trying to solve it. I don't think it's the end of playing football, and I'm not going to get that grim about that stuff. In the meantime, though, it's too easy to side with Chris Borland. I don't think there's any argument to make here. The people who are trying to stick their necks out and say, coward, and how dare you, this is a man's game. I mean, that's a very small percentage of the population. I think everybody says, yeah, good for him. Yeah, he's getting out. He's in good health. And, and there's something to appreciate about it in the sense that, of course, he just gave up what is nearly guaranteed to be millions of dollars. That's the thing that people tip their hats to. It's an easy one to side with, though, ultimately.
Yeah, it is. Wait. And I wish that your argument that you kind of built it on was as easy to side with about the environmental changes. I wish people agreed with on that.
But at least I really do think smart people are working on it. They're investing in it to try and figure out the technology, the sequence of when somebody does get a headshot, what do you then do in the ensuing 5 minutes and 5 days and 5 weeks? They're doing better with figuring that sort of thing out.
Absolutely. And the NFL, I really believe, is taking that and saying that we're going to be the people that do that.
Yeah. But I will say this. Do you think that there will be rules changes? We've heard talk about maybe no kickoffs and stuff like that. Do you think any of that stuff will happen?
I think if the smart scientists you're talking about say, look, this is the biggest risk out there. You know, you've removed these type of hits and you've added this kind of technology, whether it's the actual hardware that the players are wearing or the fact that there are now doctors actively looking for players who may be concussed and pulling them out from games. If they say, you know, the biggest risk you have right now to your game is kickoffs, for example, then yeah, I think they would definitely consider doing something different there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 5 or 10 years they do away with that. And the other thing is, I hate to bring it up, but we don't need preseason. We just don't need the preseason games. If preseason games were so important from a football perspective, then why do college teams not play any of them? It's as simple as that. I know. Yeah. It's pretty obvious why preseason games are played, and that's that. All right, what's next, Black Tie? You want to wrap it up here?
You want to know what my first job was, Dave?
Tell me.
I out of school.
Out of school, yeah, not your first job.
Yeah, out of school, I went and lived in a place called Paris.
I've heard of it. I've been there.
Paris, Texas. I've been there. Good antique stores?
No, Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
And in Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, I have heard this story. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In Paris, Kentucky, my job was to castrate calves using my bare hands and a razor blade.
Oh, my God. Oh, I definitely would rather watch EH's turn on Jerry Springer.
I had to. There's someone doing this today. Me and a buddy. We took ourselves off to Paris, Kentucky. We were told that we had this job waiting for us on a farm in Paris, Kentucky. And every day we would have to drive out.
How did this happen? How did you get from London, England to Kentucky to do this? And why would you take the job?
Me and a friend wanted to drive across the United States of America, and we decided that we would get somewhere and then get a job, and then we'd have enough money. We'd already been working back in the UK we'd have enough money to buy a car. We bought a Buick Park Avenue, which is a car that you shouldn't drive across the country in, and drove it across the country to LA, in fact. And this job was through a relation. And we'd have to get to work at 6 a.m. every day, and we had a little flatbed, like a truck, you know, like a
kind of relations.
Truck. And we had to there'd be calves roaming the fields. I don't know what you call them, like the plains or whatever, that belonged to these people because they had a bit of blue spray on the back or whatever. And one of us would be on the back of the truck, and this calf was maybe a day old. And you would have to tackle it like a, you know, like without helmet. You know, concussions oh my actually God. Could happen. drag it onto the back of the truck while its mother was furious because its their precious baby had been was being taken away from them, and then you'd wrap an elastic band.
Oh my God! What
around?
What in hell?
And then a day later,
who
you'd
would
have
submit
to
this as a job? And say no, I'm not doing that. What do you no?
And then a day later or 2 days later, you'd have to go find the same calf that you put an elastic band around its nuts, and then you would have to cut that area off using the razor blade that I mentioned. And you'd do this all while fending off an adult.
How much did they pay you to do this? What a sinister act!
I think it was the minimum wage.
Man,
I don't understand. Why do you get a bartending job? Why would you do such a gig?
Because it was fun. I mean, we would probably do two a day. The rest of the time, we'd pretend that we were doing work and we would just lounge around in the back of this truck.
and they never caught on.
No.
Can you do
can y'all
castrate about
here comes the southern accent, right?
You know, 40 head of cattle here. They never noticed it. Well, it was only coming in
about
2 a day.
It wasn't someone counting the bulls out. They weren't like, all right, they're in. Let's go look and see how many bulls they cut off.
All right, grab them two at a time. Two count for one. So,
I thought
right,
I felt sorry for Aaron Rodgers' calf after Sue stepped on it. This is like a whole nother.
How horrific. What a terrible story to share.
All I did was eat craft services, fake a couple martial arts moves, and sit around for 8 hours.
But it wasn't long after that.
You also did do Beer 30, and that really again,
was
is a video you have to go and see.
Come on, man.
But my next job after that was working for the NFL, looking after William the Refrigerator Perry in London when he played for the Monarchs. So it was, you know, it was fantastic.
Shaq, before we head out here, what's the most interesting job you had?
I really don't have.
We were doing the first job out of college, or one of the very first jobs right out of school. So you went to Indiana, right?
Well, my first job in L.A., at least, you know, bartending and all that jazz in Chicago, and did a sales job that couldn't have been more boring. And in fact, it spurred me to move out to Hollywood.
You were a bartender?
What's that?
You were a bartender?
In Chicago, yeah.
Wow.
I used to shuck oysters as well. I was at a raw bar. It was a Cajun joint. So I would sometimes, when I get real busy, I would mix cocktails, but I could shuck them oysters real good. I would do a lot more than two in 1 minute. I can assure you of that. I could pop them babies open. I could have a dozen on a tray for you ready to go. But that was, and then I did the sales job. And as I've said before, I literally can recall a few hazy moments during my 4 years in sales. I have no idea. I didn't know at the time what I was doing. People used to say, my sister was in the same field, and she would ask me questions about it, and I would say, I have no idea about what you're – but how do you account for this – what goes into the dollar in the structure of – how does that dollar break down with your spending within the – I have no idea what you're asking me. I don't know anything about
it. Could you imagine Sheck as a bartender, Black Tie? Like, usually you think of a bar –
I was a lot better at that than I was at sales.
Yeah, you think of a bar, you think of the customer sharing – sharing all thoughts. No, in Sheck's bar, you sit down and he tells you about his life the whole time.
That's right.
No way that worked out. What did you sell, though? That's interesting to me because it'd be
he doesn't even know. Whenever you ask him about this, it was a sales job.
No, I'm guessing. I'm going to get. Can I guess?
Yeah.
I've got first guess, Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks.
I was working for the Kellogg's company.
Yes.
No, it was corporate benefits.
Okay.
It was the worst.
Wow.
For large companies.
So to be in sales, you know you have to be.
I'd have to go to like Motorola, and I would have to tell them about their upcoming benefits. And I was really not capable of doing that.
But wait, you went to IU,
I don't know
right?
how I made it 4 years in that.
You went to IU, right?
Yes.
Am I wrong? Okay, so why did you move to Chicago?
It just seemed like a natural place.
So you went like there without a job?
Yeah.
You just...
It was a choice based on fun. It offered the highest fun potential for a 22-year-old. All my chums followed suit. And then my sister moved there, and it ended up being a grand time with a big collection of chums for the better part of my 20s.
And you watched Steve Walsh at quarterback every week.
But then I decided I don't like this job. I'm going nowhere. So I shipped off. And as I've said a million times, that you know people always talk about Hollywood as the place for dreamers. But what that includes, a lot of dreamers equal losers who just know that they don't like and won't make it doing whatever they're
but
doing.
But they don't so, like where they
hey,
came from.
Hey, let's go out there and try that foolishness. That seems like a fun way to go. If I'm going to make it, that would be cool. So they do that. And I soon found myself working at BattleBots. I was writing for the show that where the robots fight each other. Remember that show on Comedy Central? Yeah. I wrote that. That was probably my most humiliating moment in my career. Aside from having to tell people about their benefits.
Well,
and when they would ask me a question about that, I would say, I don't really know.
Well, look, both of you, that's great, but just consider having a warm pair of calf testicles in your hand.
No, listen, you win. What do you want from me?
Speaking of which, when's last
you've
time?
Just won a contest I have no interest in winning.
You know, Drew Staton has his little wall there, wall of fame with everybody back when they were like 18 or whatever, and he's been begging me to bring in my Medieval Times employee photo, and I finally did. I've got it.
Yeah. Medieval Times as well.
But that wasn't out of college. But
what an onion that was my you part- are to peel. What an onion.
You smell like one too, Smelly.
No, I was 18. I sold swords.
Real quick, we have to put a bow on something that we brought up 2 weeks ago.
No, can I just say something? This might be the last chance ever I get to tell a story about Medieval Times. I went to a show like 6 or 7 in Orlando, and I thought it was legitimately real, and I was really worried people were going to die. And no one told me. And my family told
That's
me,
funny.
Like, hey, no one's going to die. Just enjoy the show.
Oh, I want to get to. I really need to.
Has Black Tie seen Excalibur?
Two pieces of business. One looking forward. Black Tie came up with this himself. Everybody does their wacky brackets. Oh, NFL.com and NFL Network is doing a bracket right now. Best NFL games of all time.
Not wacky.
No, that's not a wacky
hey,
one.
Hank
but
and I worked really hard on that.
Wackatology.
Yeah, well, listen, people do, you know, the lame-os of the world do best cereals and stuff like that. But Black Tie has one that is semi-lame but also fascinating to me. A bracket of the best movies that Black Tie has never seen. That's a fun list there. Godfather would be on that list.
Star Wars. Indiana Jones.
Lord of the Rings.
That's fantastic.
That. Oh, that's right. I always get confused with which ones you've seen.
Seen them out 1 through 8.
All right. We have to seed those out. We'll work on that behind the scenes, but definitely hashtag DDFP. Send us along your suggestions for that. But, of course, anything you float is likely a movie that Black Tie hasn't
seen. But it has to be a top of the line, though. Fight Club,
right.
You know?
Has to be a good – you have not seen Fight Club?
I have not seen Fight Club, no.
Have you seen any Woody Allen movie?
I believe I've seen Midnight in Paris.
All right, that's a good picture.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's interesting that you're not sure if you've seen a movie that came out only a couple of years ago.
You know what?
I don't know. I might have seen that one.
But we're on the topic, seriously, the NFL.com bracketology is pretty cool. You can click on the games are matched up against each other. So, for example, it could be the catch versus beast mode. And if you don't remember either one of the games, you can actually watch a short highlight on the game. There's a description and vote. It's pretty awesome. It's a 32-game bracket.
Wait a second. I've looked at a lot of the games you have on there. You don't have the beast mode game against the Saints in there.
Absolutely. That was a fan.
That's one of the best games ever? Really?
Go back and watch that game, Dave. Go back and watch that
game. All right. I'm cynical. I understand, vapidly so, because I don't remember the game. I just remember resenting a 7-9 team hosting a
True, but the
game.
Saints were trying to repeat as Super Bowl champs. You had the beast mode run. It was a close game. It's pretty awesome.
All right. The other thing we have to wrap up here is I want to get handsome at least since we waited for you. We played the game of if you were stuck on an island, but that doesn't work because if you're stuck on an island, then you're going to be depressed, and that probably will inform the music you want to listen to. Give us three records, handsome. Oh,
didn't
what
we do
decide?
This last time?
No, because you didn't finish. If you were driving from Nova Scotia to Mexico City.
Yeah, we did this when I was last on here.
No, you only gave one record. What you gave?
Oh, you want more?
Yes. You have to because you get to have like five of them. Give me three. Then you can go.
I said Sam Cooke live in the Harlem Club. It's a terrific live album. I would take Radiohead.
I was going to say OK Computer.
I'd probably take OK Computer.
Uh-huh.
And what else? I would take I like some reggae, and I'll tell you who I like, Burning Spear.
Ah, very good.
Burning Spear?
Sure.
I can't remember what the I think it's called In the Hills, the album.
You ever listen to Bob Marley's Dance House, dance hall music, like the early
yeah,
Bob Marley?
Yeah,
very different.
Yeah,
than
yeah
what
absolutely,
you,
very different.
Legend right. has a sound to it, which is nice, right. but it's
no, this is much.
But
more
the dance hall is festive yeah. And nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are your choices.
Those would be my three choices.
Nothing like the Beatles. Nothing. Well, I guess Radiohead's pretty English.
Yeah, Radiohead's pretty English.
I'm surprised you don't go something American. R.E.M.?
Sorry?
R.E.M.? Or
I like R.E.M., but no, I wouldn't. They wouldn't come with me in the car.
You're so red, white, and blue for a British person. I'm surprised you're not into, like, The Boss or something like that.
I mean, again, I like him, but he's
Black Tie,
not
before
essential.
We wrap, go ahead. I want you to – I'm giving you another chance. Boys yes. to Men was your last one. And
that was a fail.
That was a low point for the DDFP.
It was, you put me on the spot. I admit to that.
You're breaking the curve. Our music taste on this show is way better than the around the NFL.
Well, we all have
taste.
Different music tastes. You know, that's just general.
I know, but mine is good.
Different age group
bad,
by
and
far.
I don't want Boys to Men mentioned ever again.
Well,
go
no.
Ahead.
That's. I mean, it was a stretch for me. Big Michael Jackson guy, so I'll use, you know, have some of that.
Thriller?
Yes. Probably go with Thriller on that one. Go with Maxwell. I don't doubt you've ever listened to Maxwell before.
I've heard Maxwell.
Maxwell's Now album. Probably one of the best. Lastly, I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one. I still got to listen to probably one of Eminem's earlier albums. The
You've only had 2 weeks to think about this. You couldn't think of any
it's
records
music.
That you would want to have.
It's extremely hard. It depends on your mood.
That's why it's fun to
everything.
Do. But this is for a drive for, like, that will take you probably 25 or 30 hours to make. 30, 35 hours even. You only get to have 5 records in the car. Oh, and Elliot, your radio doesn't work. So these 5 records that you have, this is what you get, this is what you have, and that's it.
That's all you got, huh?
Yes. I'll to bring you up to speed and to give you an extra couple seconds to think. Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that's a great one.
Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers is going to come
yeah,
along with
yeah.
me. Built to Spills, Perfect From Now On is going to come with me. I'm going to put Exile on Main Street. That's one that I think a lot of people are aware of, but I'm going to put the Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street. UEH.
I would go, I would need Eagles Greatest Hits Volume 1 because I like so many of the songs on that album. They're not my favorite band, but U2, the Joshua Tree is just a bang up album.
I know, it's
hip
to not like U2 now, but Joshua Tree is a legitimate.
It makes you think, and I also like U2 Under a Blood Red Sky, a live album from the really early days. I'd want Last of the Mohicans soundtrack for sure.
Last of the Mohicans
I would.
Soundtrack.
I love movie scores, man. I love.
Whoa, that's my thing.
I that love is, movie scores. Not sound.
That.
Don't think soundtrack.
No,
like,
I'm talking score. Dude,
yeah,
not still
we're not talking about Take Your Breath Away by Berlin
I
and totally the Top Gun.
I'm, I know what you're
the
saying.
The score to Last of the Mohicans is my favorite, scores, and man. I love Gladiator scores. Fantastic. And then
I can't laugh at you when I say I'd like to drive around listening to NFL films music all the time.
I was about to say I have to this is so embarrassing, but I have a tape recording of the 1966 NFL title game. Packers Cowboys at the Cotton Bowl. Meredith Starr. I love it. And it just kind of zaps me back into like a historical time.
A good NFL like film score, The Hard Knocks Open.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
It doesn't get better. Sam Spence.
Another pretty good movie score. You're going to hate on the movie, naturally. The second Transformers movie, great score. Done by Hans Zimmer's underscore.
You know what, though? A lot of movies that you wouldn't expect to have a fantastic score do. The
Universal
that,
Soldier 2, The Reawakening is pretty good.
The last Rambo movie had an amazing one. I couldn't believe it.
Best scores, I mean, off the top of my head, well, I'd go with the classic ones, but, you know, Star Wars, it begins and ends, right?
Last of Mohicans is better, but yeah, Star Wars is good. Gladiator's score is better than the music.
You
the
know
movie.
Who's got a great score with original music in it is the Kill Bill Pictures. One of the guys from, who did that score? It was a rap group. Who am I thinking of? Was it RZA?
It might have been. I know he's done some stuff with them.
I think that's who it was. I think it was
Wu-Tang,
RZA.
Yeah.
Yeah, from The Wu. I've seen The Wu, Black Tie. How about that?
Nice.
Are you surprised by that?
I like your Allman
Brothers
choice.
I've seen De La Soul. I've seen
De La Soul. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I saw De La Soul. I saw Tribe Called Quest. I'm not a square black.
Yeah, you're right.
See, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with Black Tie here a little bit too. You know, like it all depends on your mood too. Because to me, Appetite for Destruction is the best debut album probably ever made, and that's not something I'm going to want to listen to on a road.
Ramones.
I'm not going to want to listen to that on a road trip. I'm not going to want to listen to the Ramones on a road trip either. But your Allman Brothers,
Ramones is my favorite. Is the best first record.
Okay, the Who's Next is a good one.
Who? That would be a good choice there. All right.
This is the longest podcast ever, huh?
I don't. Black Tie?
It's gone off the rails.
I feel like we've only been doing about 20 minutes now. No, we've done more than 20 minutes.
No, we've done like a good hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right.
I think that's a good topic, though. The albums that you would listen to. I mean, that's
so
tough,
broad,
man.
Though.
It's broad.
I want to do Black Tie, and I'm not jiving you about this. I want to do a thing, but I want to bring Spotify in and. Do this with
playlist.
Players, but I want Spotify to be a part of us doing this. I don't want to just cobble together these lists. I'd like to see if we could get Spotify to support them in the next, you know, when we have whoever Martellus Bennett in here next week or whatever. I'd like for him to put his list together, and I'd like Spotify to share it.
I'll tell you what, though, if I was in a bad mood and I was driving, I was like driving against my will. Pretty Hate Machine by Nine Inch Nails. I think that would pretty much – that's still the most unique album I think I've ever heard in my
life.
Well,
actually, if you've been watching the show, The Jinx, it's been the documentary series. It's just the spectacular stuff. And it resulted with the guy getting – Robert Durst getting arrested the morning of the finale of the show.
I read about that.
And then they confused – the AP confused. They released a statement saying something to the effect of former – Limp Bizkit frontman Robert Durst has been arrested in New Orleans for the murder of Susan Berman. And then they obviously had to correct that. But that would be it to me. Limp Bizkit or Korn. One of those are that is the nadir of music. I don't care what your interests are. I'm not into all kinds of music, but that was the bottom of the barrel in my lifetime for music. Was that whatever you, what do you call that music?
I don't know, but if Trent, Black Tie,
that was the worst.
Black Tie, if Trent Reznor is a dedicated listener of the DDFP, he must be so pissed right now.
No,
mentioning his name made Czech think of Fred Durst. that doesn't get lower than that, man.
All right, so that's it. I didn't realize. I thought we had just begun. Let alone now, I realize that it's time to wrap it up here. Do we have any guests later in the week here, Black Tie? Oh, we're going to talk to Greg Rosenthal, Patriots lover and the main man at the Around the NFL. We're going to talk about the last 6 weeks and how different they would have been had the Patriots not won the Super Bowl. It'll be fun. Meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.